I'm looking at my hands, the tools of my trade. Fingers and thumbs that have scribbled their way through more than 17 books, hundreds of poems, dozens of BBC scripts, and tapped out millions of words on typewriters and computer keyboards. My first typewriter was an ancient Remington my dad bought in an auction. I was 16, and learning to touch type was ambition number one on the way to becoming an author. It had a long carriage that took a lot of muscle to hurl it from one end of a line to the other. The keys were similarly stubborn, not so much touch typing as hammer throwing. What that did for my finger joints, I'm only now beginning to find out. In those days, I still wrote everything out in longhand, scribbling faster and faster to keep up with the narrative voice in my head, so that my handwriting became more and more illegible, even for me. It has the look of shorthand, though not anything you're ever going to learn at college. I travelled a lot, earned a little money, bought better typewriters. Tippex was invented. Some of my machines even had electric carriages and self-correcting tapes. But I still spent hours on the floor cutting and pasting pages into stiff collages of paragraphs that would eventually be photocopied into a half-decent manuscript. I bought my first computer out of the proceeds of a book advance, and it was bliss, being able to change anything at the touch of a key. Unlimited alterations until, finally, you pressed print and an immaculate manuscript stacked itself neatly on the tray. Having this facility altered the way I wrote. First drafts became less considered, careless scribbles that could be embroidered, padded out, or slashed in an instant. I could have 13 different versions of a book or a poem all at the same time. It didn't make me a better writer. The careful choice of a word, hearing how it sounded in my head before I put it down on the page, was replaced by a recklessness that relied on ruthless editing rather than creative invention. It also meant that I spent more time peering at a screen hunched over a keyboard. I needed spectacles, which became progressively stronger. I developed arthritis in my neck and shoulders, my wrists and fingers. The physio called it writer's syndrome. I tried to spend less time in front of a computer, but deadlines are ruthless. I went back to handwritten drafts and editing, but noticed that my fingers had begun to ache just holding the pencil. If archaeologists dig up my bones at some point in the future, they'll be able to look at my joints and say, "She was a writer. My occupation is printed in my skeleton." The prolific author Catherine Cookson also suffered from repetitive strain injury. Midway through her career, she bought a very expensive tape recorder and began to dictate her novels. I've thought about this. Voice recognition software is available and becoming much more accurate. But dictating her work changed the nature of Cookson's writing. Oral storytelling is quite different from prose that is written to be silently read on the page. Cookson's books had more dialogue, less description. They became more colloquial. Will changing to dictation alter my writing style in the same way? Through the late 70s and 80s, I did a lot of work for radio, and it definitely changed the way I wrote. My scripts became simpler, more direct. A listener can't turn the page back to recap. In sound broadcasting, the audience has to get it in one take. But I still wrote on the page, only reading the words aloud and editing them later. I've tried dictating ideas, but it's hard. My brain seems to work in a straight line down my arm to the pencil perched expectantly between my finger and thumb. Between the brain and the mouth there's a barrier, a hesitancy I can't quite overcome, as if I'm embarrassed to hear myself thinking aloud. But I look down at my hands, victims of a lifetime of thumping heavy keyboards, the swollen red joints and the reluctant wrists, and I know that I will have to learn. It's the very physical act of writing that changes the writer most. Perhaps I should look at it philosophically, as Coleridge's daughter Sarah did when confronted with cancer. For her, as a writer, only one thing was important. At least it is only the body, she cried, not the mind, not the mind.